ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Thomas Szasz, considered to be one of the great masters of psychology in the world, in his book, The Myth of Psychotherapy, listen to what this man said. He's not a believer, okay? He's one of the prominent leaders in this field. Through psychotherapy, we have turned the salvation of sinful souls into the cure of sick minds. Through his book, again, this man is Jewish and he's not a Christian. He's basically saying, you Christians have the answer. You ought to take this back into the church. What's it doing out here? We've got nothing to offer. Why are you giving it to us? You have the answers. Here's a guy who's supposed to have the answers for people. He's charging them. And he's saying, hey, why are you Christians coming to me? You have all the answers. And the church has kind of shut their eyes. They have closed their ears to what God is saying, and they're listening to what the world is saying. And the church has been defeated in this area. Many saints are all messed up because they listen to man instead of God. And it's just not psychobabble that I'm talking about. The devil has tickled the ears of many and got them away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, and their submission is no longer to God and His Word, but to man and his ideas. Again, you could doubt that, but look at what's coming to the church. Many accept the homosexual lifestyle as being normal and should be embraced by the church. Some churches have ordained gay pastors and lesbian pastors. We have churches that teach that God is done with Israel and the church has replaced Israel. Foolishness, because it goes against what the Word of God is saying. How crazy is that? We have the Protestant church coming together with the Roman Catholic church saying that we worship the same God and the way that we get to God is really no different. And yet, that would mean that we have to work our way into heaven if we follow the Roman Catholic Church. Follow the sacraments, go to church, and in the end, you're still not going to make it. You have to go to purgatory to atone for your sins. Is that what the Scriptures teach? No. Do you see what bringing everything into the light of God's Word does? It exposes the falseness that's out there. But when you listen to man instead of the Word of God, you will be deceived. Because you no longer have the light to shine upon what you're hearing. We have pastors that will hold up the Bible and never open it. They'll use it as a prop. But you have to open up the Bible. You have to teach from it. We've moved away from teaching against sin. We moved away from teaching about a need for a Savior. We moved into a social gospel that meets the needs of people here and now. But for eternity, they're going to be in hell. It's dangerous. And I could spend a lot of time on this, but I think you understand what's happening here. So the first point I want to bring out in regard to this idea of focusing on the ark is this submission. I'm sure you know people who say they follow Jesus, that they love him. But you look at their lifestyle and you go, oh, something's not right here. If you've submitted to the Lord, you're going to follow his word, aren't you? I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. None of us are. We make mistakes. We fail. We sin. But the idea here is habitual disobedience to what the Lord has said in his word. And if you're not following his word, then you're not following the Lord. The word of God needs to be held up. It needs to be put in a place of honor where people can clearly see it. And they need to understand that it's the only source of truth that can lead a person into a life of blessing and victory. That's the reality. And that's what the Lord told Joshua. Remember what we read in chapter 1. Focusing on the law. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And here they are. Picture in your mind where they're at. They're at these waters rushing by them, overflowing the banks of the Jordan with no hope of crossing over. But now they're told, take your eyes off of the Jordan River. Focus it on the Word of God. What has He promised you? What does His Word say? Because once you focus on the Lord, you will have the faith to walk. And it's true for us. Get our eyes off the situation, focus on the Lord and His Word. And if you're truly following the Lord, then you will be submissive to His Word. There's no doubt about it. Look at verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So the next point is that we're to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And you think, well, what's that about? The idea here is separating ourselves from the world and all of its defilements. You know, we're to be walking in personal and practical holiness. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he has called you as holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" I don't think any of your Bibles say, "Be happy, for I am happy." It says, "Holy, be holy, for I am holy." For the children of Israel, the battles they were facing were not going to necessarily be physical battles. They're spiritual battles that would manifest themselves in physical ways. And they needed to sanctify themselves, to set themselves apart unto God for his use, that their entire lives would be placed in his hands for God to use them. Get your eyes off the physical, focus on the Lord, and see the salvation he'll bring to the situations you face. In Exodus 19, listen to what we're told. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in sight of all the people." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." So the Lord told his people, sanctify themselves. And everybody bathed, changed their clothes. It was more of a ceremonial cleansing. The married couples abstained from sexual contact for a time as a symbol of their consecration to God. It was a new beginning for them, in a sense. And what we see here in Joshua is that very thing. The wilderness wanderings represented a time of carnality for the children of Israel. They complained about this, they complained about that. They compromised in their relationship with the Lord. They were sinning. But things are going to be new. They were entering into the promised land, the new life in Canaan. It was a new beginning for them. But they first needed to consecrate themselves before the Lord. They needed to put God before any of their fleshly appetites. And they needed to wash themselves and change their clothes. And a new beginning can never happen without a life committed to holy living. When we got saved, we were washed in the blood of Christ. And he cleansed us from all our sin. He clothed us in his righteousness. Now, as Christians, can we get dirty? Yes. Being in the world, there's a lot of dirt out there, and we need to wash. How do we wash? We wash in the water of the Word, be cleansed from that dirt we've put on in the world. David said in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The Word of God, reading it, applying it to our lives, helps us keep on track. It cleanses us. Paul, in Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27, says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Yes, this command is to husbands and the responsibility to their wives. But again, make no mistake about it, there is that sanctification and cleansing as we wash ourselves in the water of God's word. We need to remember that. You know, Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 3, putting off the old man, that old life, put on the new man in Christ. He said, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, we have to put off the old man, that old life, put on the new man, put on Jesus and walk in holiness. And I realize some of you think, well, that's impossible. I can't do it. God never said that for you to accomplish this in your flesh. He said you need to surrender to the Spirit of God. This is a supernatural life, not a life that's walked in the flesh. Not at all. We can't do it on our own. But as we submit to him, he will equip us to walk in holiness. Let me share this with you. Patty shared this with me a few months back. Listen to what we're told. And this is important. God will never tell you to do anything that gratifies the flesh, to do just as you please without thought of the future. Yes, he wants you to enjoy life, but in a way that pleases him and brings you wholesome fulfillment, not in a manner that will ultimately destroy you. Friend, be cautious and wise. If what you hear urges you to feed your sinful nature, then it's not of God. His Holy Spirit within you always speaks in such a way that results in the fruit of righteousness, not the indulgence of your flesh. In fact, your old sensual nature is constantly warring against the Spirit within you, and you must consciously work to bring it under his control. Therefore, friend, set your mind to satisfy the yearning of the Spirit. His voice will build you up, edify you, and lead you on the path of God's will. Trust him, obey his Spirit, and live. It sounds so simplistic, doesn't it? You know, if you are doing something that is sinful, it's not from God. And yet I hear that. I hear that in relationships. Well, in God's eyes, we're married, so this having sexual relations is okay, even though we're not married. No! Remember what Peter said. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And there's tremendous joy in following the Lord. Is it easy? No. There's a constant war going on. But boy, walking in victory is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And if you're truly following the Lord, then you will consecrate yourself to him. It's as simple as that. Well, look at verse 6. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. This is the last point that I want to look at in regard to us following the Lord. We are to be obedient to him. You know, we read this story and I don't think we think much of it. God told Joshua to have the priest bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River. And Joshua told the priests, and what did the priests do? Well, it says they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. I find it interesting because, you know, I'd be thinking, are you kidding me? You want me to go with this Ark that's pretty heavy to go in there, and we're all going to go floating downstream. We're going to be carried away, right? I mean, that's human wisdom, human reasoning. Looking at the situation and not looking to God, this is impossible to do. But they obeyed the Lord. Again, I think because we want things so quickly today, we lose sight that we have to wait upon God, don't we? And that's a hard one. It's easy to jump ahead, but it always ends up a mess. You wait upon him. And this year has been a tremendous example to me of how waiting upon the Lord does amazing things. I have learned so much this past year in regards to that. And I see the salvation that he brings to the situations that I faced. And you can too, just trusting in him. This was not going to be accomplished by the power of their might, but only by the power of God. It's a walk of faith by these priests. And they were leading the way as they carried the Ark of the Covenant. And all the people were watching and they would follow him. You know, like it or not, unless we step out by faith and get our feet wet, we're not going to experience much in the way of victory or much in the way of service for the Lord. We like to live in our comfort zone. I mean, let's face it, we do. We do something and there's no growth, though. We're very stagnant. This is my comfort zone. This is what I do. But you want me to step out here? Are you kidding me? This is where I like it. This is what I've done. I've done it for years. But you want me to do something else? You're joking, right? This is a test. Well, it is a test of your faith. Do you trust him? And yes, there are obstacles, and it looks discouraging to us. But are we willing to take those steps of faith? Because if God has called you, why do we fear? That's a big question. God has called us to do something, but we have this fear. I can't do it. Exactly, you can't. But if he called you, do you think he's going to make you fail? He wants to give you victory. How important that is. And it's just that obedience and walking by faith. God has called us to do something, and when we take those steps of faith in accordance to what he has told us, or in accordance to his word, we see the victory. It's not an issue of being impossible. It's an issue of faith. Do you trust what the Lord is telling you? I mean, think about it. For your salvation, do you believe that Jesus Christ paid in full the penalty for your sins on the cross of Calvary, that his blood cleanses us from all our sins, that by repenting of our sins, asking Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our life, we have eternal life with him? We believe that by faith. And God says, I want you to do this ministry. Are you kidding me? He saved you from all your sins. He created the heavens and earth. I think he can handle you, right? That's where the victory is. I love that. But it's not easy, but obedience is so important. I'll show you what I mean. You know, Arabian horses go through this rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. And these trainers require absolute obedience from the horses and test them to see if they're completely trained. And this is the final test. And it's amazing. I mean, I can't even believe that these horses would do that. The trainers force the horses to do without water for many days. Then the trainer turns them loose, and what do? They start running towards water. They're thirsty. But when they get to the edge, ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle. And the horses who have been completely trained and who have learned perfect obedience stop. And they turn around and come pacing back to the trainer. And they stand there quivering, wanting water, but they wait in perfect obedience. And when the trainer is sure that he has their obedience, he gives them a signal to go back and drink. And you think, well, that's cruel, that's severe. But think about it. When you're on a trackless desert of Arabia and your life is entrusted to a horse, you better train that horse to be an obedient horse. What is God doing with us? He's training us to be obedient. He's not trying to ruin our fun. He's trying to train us to be obedient so that we would be blessed. And if we love the Lord, we're going to be obedient to what he's calling us to do. Think about it. Abraham's high degree of obedience that God requires of his people and nothing less. Look at what Abraham did. When Saul, under God's direction, defeats the Amalekites, what does he do? He allows soldiers to return with some of the livestock as plunder to be sacrificed to God in spite of God's command that everything should be destroyed. You see, one man's faith and one man's disobedience. And because Saul fails to obey fully, God rebukes him through Samuel. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Obedience always conveys nothing short of total surrender to the will of God. But God's demands for obedience is not just arbitrary. Obedience is a means by which God brings blessings, as I said. When God confirms to Isaac the promise of land and innumerable descendants, he cites the obedience of Abraham as the immediate reason for such immense blessing. When God speaks to Moses from Mount Sinai, he declares that if they will obey fully, Israel will be his treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And here obedience is associated with blessing, and such that each comprises one half of the relationship between God and Israel. Israel's part to obey, and God's the bless. And it's not just for blessing. It's out of love that we follow the Lord, that we're obedient to him. And love the Lord in Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. It's not just for blessing. It's because we love him that we are obedient to him. See, if you're truly following the Lord, then you will be obedient to him. So here's the thing. As we prepare for miracles in our lives, as we prepare for the work that God is doing in us and through us, we need to focus on the Lord. We need to be in his word. And the evidence for this kind of faith is that we are in submission to him, we have consecrated our lives to him, and we are in obedience to him. And I'll close with this. They, the priests, do what Joshua tells them to do. There is a sanctity and deliberation about the whole process that is often lacking in our contemporary discipleship. We don't want to wait. Sometimes we don't want to set our lives apart to the Lord for His exclusive use. Often we don't want to allow any sort of distance because we imagine that we already know the way and don't need step-by-step guidance. These verses may well challenge us to some profound reassessments of our daily discipleship, especially in our instant generation where we want everything sorted out and guaranteed before we start. Perhaps this is why wonderful manifestations of God's glory are comparatively rare among us. This chapter reminds us that we are not writing the agenda. That is the Lord's prerogative. What He requires from us is submissive obedience that desires His glory rather than our own, and is content to fulfill whatever role He is pleased to assign to us. You know, may we be men and women who are totally surrendered to God and are willing to take those steps of faith no matter how fast those waters are flowing before us, because God has called us to walk. And, you know, I don't know, as we are in these last days, who knows how long we have, if it's years down the road or whatever, but we see a world that is getting more antagonistic towards Christians, to the way we live out our faith. And it's not a matter of, well, I don't agree with you. It's a matter of, you can't do that anymore. And if you doubt that, take a look what's going on in Canada. You know, pastors teaching out of the Bible where it comes against homosexuality, and these guys do, and they're put in prison. Whatever happened to freedom of religion? Whatever happened to freedom of speech? I'm not promoting violence towards people. I'm saying what God says in His Word. Why are they so angry about it? Because it comes against their lifestyle. And the light exposes their darkness. When you say that their lifestyle is a sin, they don't like it. But I'm not saying it. God is. And we need to remember that, because this is where the church has compromised a lot of its faith. We're going along with what society says is right and what's wrong. Let me ask you this. Has society ever been wrong? It's always wrong. I mean, come on. Has God ever been wrong? No. Why then do we think it's right to follow society and where it's going instead of following God, who's always right? You see, that's a challenge for us. Are we going to walk by faith and trust what God has said in His Word? Believe in His promises to us? Or are we going to listen to what the world has to say? And I'll tell you what, you will never be satisfied. You will all... The holy laughter thing, you know, that was going around years ago where they were just laughing all over the church. And then there was, being glued to the floor, being glued to the wall, and being drunk in the Spirit. And it goes on and on and on and on. Because why? Because it's never enough. You always have to, you know, overdo or outdo yourself. There was a post, and I didn't get to read the whole thing, but it was a pastor who was going in on a string from the ceiling down into the church. You know, what is it? I just thought, you know, you're setting yourself up for disaster, and you better hope the people that strung that string like you, because, that could be really nasty. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't a good thing, because that's why they were posting it. But do we need to entertain people? If you want entertainment, do you come here? No, my jokes are not very good, okay? You don't come here for entertainment. You go to the movies. You turn on the TV. That's entertainment. You watch sports or whatever. That's entertainment. We come here to worship God and to learn from Him so we could take the truths of God and apply them to our lives and learn to walk by faith. Amen. You see, we want that victorious Christian life. Thus, we need to walk accordingly. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's a walk of faith. And what a journey it is. It's an amazing journey. Are there things that I would not like to have happened in my life? Yeah, but they're there for a reason. And so everything that's happened in my life is for a purpose. It's for God's plan to help me grow, to mature in the faith, and the same is true in your lives. Walk by faith. Trust in Him. Go according to His Word. Let the Word of God guide you in all that you do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word this morning. What an encouragement. Because, Lord, we look at our life situations and the impossibility, and they're like raging waters of a river that we can never cross on our own. Well, Lord, you never told us to cross on our own. You told us to look to you, and you would see us through those waters. And it's always as we follow you and we walk by faith. Putting our first toe in that water is always a challenge. But once we get in, we know that we can follow you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be men and women that walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in your promises, following you according to your word and not according to the wisdom of man. We love you so much, Lord. And again, we thank you for the wisdom you've given us this morning through your word. Help us to walk accordingly. Help us to learn these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.